Today, we are going to try to cover the topic of education. It's a big one. We're going to try to do it some justice for you. And at the end, we're going to end with just group questions. We're not going to do small group time. We have many options right now, right? When I grew up, you went to public school. That's just what you did. And you went to school down the street, and you actually walked to school, and your mom let you walk, and you were little. And if you could afford private school, you could go to private school. But we really didn't have a lot of options. It's a lot different now. You guys have many, many options. I think it's a great thing. Sometimes my mom says life was a lot easier for her because you just did what you did, you know, and now we can think through so many things. But we do have the ability to think through these things, and I really think this is a great topic. We are going to take turns speaking back and forth, mixing it up a bit. I feel like we're at a college graduation. Have you ever been to one? Because this is what it looks like, except I'd have a gown on and stuff. Betsy's going to talk about public school. Laura's going to talk about charter. I'm going to talk about homeschool. But we've kind of done a lot of different options, especially Laura and I have done all 40 of them. And these two are invaluable to me. They have answered questions for me, for Betsy forever. Betsy and I had a relationship through Katie, her daughter. I was her high school leader. And Betsy was always my go-to about education things. So these two are invaluable, and I'm privileged and honored to stand up here with them. You will need a lot of wisdom as you walk this path of education. It's a lot of your parenting. In fact, it's far more of your parenting than 0 to 5, so buckle up and get ready. There's no perfect plan, and not every option works for everything, and I hope we don't, for everyone, I hope we don't speak dogmatic up here. Because there's a lot of wisdom that goes into you making a decision about what you're going to do with each individual child. How many of you have school kids in school already not a leader? If you're a leader, don't answer. But high, put them high. So a lot of you, more than I thought, but most of you do not. Trust me, it goes fast. This is what I've thought about over my life. 0 to 12, go slow. You're like, when are they going to get dressed by themselves? When are they going to make their bed, right? When are they, it just goes so slow. And I'm telling you, when they hit 12, and just the first one, then it all flies. And I don't know how that works, because we all have the same amount of hours in our day, but for some reason it's true. Have you thought about your philosophy of education? This is something that's going to come fast. Behind every school and every teacher is a set of related beliefs, a philosophy of education that influences what and how your kids are taught. A philosophy of education represents answers to questions about the purpose of schooling, what is a teacher's role, and what should be taught and by what methods. Education has been defined as the process by which children and youth develop knowledge, skills, and character, especially through formal instruction, training, and study. Again, you need to be thinking of your philosophy in this area, realizing it can change as you go, and you need to be flexible. The three of us came up with this. The goal of education is preparation for adulthood. Say it again. The goal of education is preparation for adulthood, and the goal of parenting is training your child's heart. We need to keep these goals in mind as we raise our kids. First, parents have a primary responsibility for educating their children. To educate literally means to rear or lead out. And it's related to the Latin word, which I'm not going to say because I don't know Latin, even though I homeschool. It means to bring out or lead forth. The concept of rearing, along with the scriptural mandates of basically Deuteronomy 6, indicate that it is parents who have the primary responsibility for educating their children, not the state, not the society, or even the church. Girls, let me tell you, 18 is not a magic age. You will parent for a long time. We are still helping Nathaniel get through college, and that's just the way it is. It never stops. So this is a long endeavor for you, and it's a lot of fun. You will want to instill in your child, whatever option you choose, a love of learning. You want your kids to learn to grow up and be leaders, and you want them to love the Lord with all their heart. So first, parents have a primary responsibility for educating their children. Second, children need to be raised and taught through the grid of Scripture, and they need to have a biblical worldview. Why does a biblical worldview matter? Because our kids must rightly see and understand the reality of the existence of God, His character, and His purposes. why we exist and why we should, how we should live, and what is wrong with the world, and what solution does the Word of God offer. If we educate our kids to the exclusion of biblical truth, then you're failing in education. That's not to say you have to homeschool. So I want to be very careful you understand that. If you don't have Christian curriculum, you have to work harder when those kids are home from school. But really, I did math, and we didn't talk about God all the time. So be careful that you're not hearing me be dogmatic. Everything I'm saying in these points has to do with any option you choose. What do we need to teach our kids? That God is the source of all truth, that His Word, the Bible, is truth. We need to teach them a biblical understanding of God's nature and character. We need to teach our children that biblical truth is relevant to everything in life, even math. We need to help them to see that the Bible is the only thing that reasonably explains the world in which we live. We need to challenge them to see their own feelings, words, and actions in light of Scripture. All of this you should be doing now. Point out the natural consequences of right and wrong. We need to teach them the whole counsel of God so they see the whole entirety of Scripture. There's nothing new under the sun. God is timeless. Teach our children to evaluate everything through the Bible. And I can tell you, by having kids in public school as well, these were incredible conversations for me with my children about the Lord and teachers and what they were learning at school. Teach our children that a biblical worldview is meant to point them to true lasting joy, which we just heard about on Sunday. Teach our children to boldly proclaim God's truth in a spirit of humility. We need to teach our children to expect opposition and to be prepared to stand firm. All this can be done with any option. Number three, it's probably my biggest issue. You and your husband need to be on the same page. This is a must. This is a must in any parenting situation, right? If you've ever heard Robert speak, this is a big deal. If you're not on the same page, get on the same page. If you need help getting on the same page, ask your mentor moms, ask anybody, but get on the same page. Amos 3:3, which my mom has used my whole life, works perfectly here. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? You must be on the same page. Number four, do not make your decisions out of fear. Any parenting decision. Seek counsel in an area of school and parenting. You can individualize it to each kid. Your children will be different. You have to think through them. But the way you get there may be different. The standard's the same, but the child's different. You want to get them to the standard, even if you change ways for your kids. Your husband needs to lead. Always remember, do not make decisions out of fear. For instance, don't think, well, I'm so scared of sin, so I'm going to keep them in my house. Just so you know, there's a lot of sin in your house and all their little beating hearts. Number five, all the homeschooling options mean you need to be highly involved in whatever you do. If you homeschool, you need to be involved. If they're sent to school, you need to be involved. Get out of your cars, go meet their friends, do whatever it takes to be involved. You cannot go on autopilot. Be present wherever your kids are.
See you at graduation.
She was the valedictorian. Another thing I want to add is that we've talked about at length is the importance of being teachable through this process and calling upon different women. And just look around the room. You have amazing resources just in this room, not to mention our church and beyond. So be talking to people as you go through these years of young children, older children, and the Bible says in Proverbs, get wisdom. And also that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. And so we need to be seeking that out, not just from people that might be more inclined to support maybe what you were leaning towards, but also get a variety of input about different types of schooling and, of course, about everything else that has to do with parenting. But that's been huge. It's neat to be up here with Betsy and Tracy specifically, because there's been a couple times in my life where, with education particularly, I've had to sit down with Jonas and make some tough decisions. And I can think of a time with Betsy where we needed to work through with one of our kids what's best. And it was just invaluable. And the result of that was just so much blessing. And Another time, more recently, sitting down with Tracy, okay, another situation, another kid. Help me to be wise in this. And again, that experience was just priceless. And God blessed that, and it's what he calls us to do. So it's super important to be flexible and not dogmatic. As Tracy already said, I've done every type of schooling with our kids, public, charter, homeschooling. Now I can add private school to the list. And I'm just so thankful for all those options. This area is rich with options, which can be a little overwhelming too, but it's a blessing that they're there. So take advantage of that and just always know that you're going to be reevaluating. Maybe one kid will go all the way through with the same type of schooling. For us, we always reevaluate every year. Not that we're wanting to make a switch every year, but just how are they doing, especially character-wise. We want to make sure that they're in a place that's not that they're not going to have challenges, don't get me wrong, but especially if you see as they get older, junior high school, this comes into play more. If their peers are influencing them to where you can't turn that around pretty quickly, like they're going to submit to mom and dad, yeah, the peers are an influence, but we're going to stick to what mom and dad tell us, whether this relationship isn't good or whatnot, and you don't see that happening, that's a big red flag to where we may need to make a more drastic change. And again, just seek out counsel, but just know you're going to be always reevaluating. So we want to stay flexible, teachable, and then you make changes as needed. But again, just there's so much safety in calling upon the wisdom of others, and so that's just been huge for us.
Okay, just a few more kind of big picture ideas, and then we're going to get into more specifics about different types of education. Schooling can be a divisive issue. You've probably seen that. And it's divisive when we take pride or we're self-righteous in our choices. And any category of school choice, that can happen. And it's divisive when we add scripture or twist scripture to validate our parenting choices. I'm not sure it's a good idea to label your kids, because then if you say, you know, we're a public school family or we're a homeschool family, because then if your circumstances change, you've just sort of painted yourself in a corner. So please don't think or say that your schooling choice is somehow more spiritual or that you're making the right choice, and just overgeneralize it. And then another thing that kind of really blends with what Tracy was talking about is that your parenting philosophy applies in any school setting. So this is where Deuteronomy 6 comes in once again. My kids went to public school, and I absolutely claim Deuteronomy 6 as my parenting style. And it was really important for us to take circumstances and what was going on in their life and put it through the grid of Scripture. And we know we should disciple our kids no matter where they went to school. So like I said already, my kids went to public school, but we taught them Scripture. We sang hymns. We applied biblical principles to life. We trained them. We had to be more strategic with our time because they weren't with me as much. But we were still able to, really cling to our parenting goals and philosophy. And also, the last point I want to make is that every school choice requires safeguards. We were involved with our kids' education and the relationships that went along with it. We met their teachers, their classmates, and other parents. And we probably had to be more on guard when it came to birthday parties or other social type things than maybe if you have close families that you're with. So I think that's just something we're going to talk about more even later on, is that I just want to kind of remind you again, because I think it's really important that every school choice has its own set of safeguards. Okay, and now Tracy's going to come back up and talk about more important things.
I'm going to pass out the diplomas. So I am going to talk about homeschooling, and I'm a fan, so I do want to be clear about that. It was probably the greatest time of our lives, but you don't have to do what I did because every situation is totally different. I want to give you some thoughts. Avoid the common misconception of homeschool. It will not protect your children from the world and especially from their own hearts. Right? We all know Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is wicked. It doesn't say people outside your home are wicked. Your wickedness is dwelling in your house. And if you have a lot of kids, you got a lot of wickedness in your house. So don't assume that you're going to keep them home and this is going to protect them. Public school will not necessarily ruin your children. Homeschool will not necessarily save your children. I mean, all of these, I know you're laughing, but it is how we feel sometimes. Like, I talked to a friend the other day, and she said, I did think when I homeschooled that I was going to do it better and different than anybody else. And maybe that's how we all are when we're young. We think, this is going to make my kids be this way or my family be this way. And we're just all here to tell you to be flexible. Things change. And I didn't start out thinking we'd homeschool, and so we did. There's nothing that will guarantee your child's salvation, nothing that will guarantee they won't struggle in adolescence specifically. Sometimes I think we want to think, wow, who taught them to do that, right? But nobody teaches them to do these things. Like, obviously they do learn some things from people. I don't want you to underestimate the value of influence. It's a big deal. And I have 5 kids. I have some that are more easily influenced by others. They're really easily influenced in great ways, and they're really easily influenced in ways that I don't like. So realize that you got to know your kids. Influence is a big deal. There's many homeschooled kids that aren't saved. There's many public school kids that are stellar and unbelievable. I just really want you to avoid any misconceptions here. Wherever they go to school, you adjust accordingly, and you can live out Deuteronomy 6 in your home, if they're away from you, if they're gone a few days, whatever it ends up being. This was from the census in 2012, which is funny to me because they just come out with the statistics later, but it seems already outdated. But an estimated 2.04 million K through 12 children are home educated. That's a 75% increase since 1999. California has a lot of homeschooled kids. I don't know if that's because we're just a bad state. I'm not quite sure, but we actually live in a good school area, I think. Maybe not me, but all of you Marietta people. When I started, it was a bit more scary. There were a lot of court battles. I remember wondering if my kids should be outside. When they got squirrely and disobeyed, I would make them run the driveway, and I don't know if the neighbors thought, boy, she's like a runner, because I'm not. But my kids ran all day long. But now I wouldn't care, because it's so accepted right now that kids are home. But when we all started, Greta, Polly, where'd she go? She left me. Hi, Polly. It was a little bit more scary. It's not scary now. It's really well accepted and easy to do. I quote that. They can and do actually go to college. So I do want you to know, we've all heard stories, oh, can they get to college? Well, yes, they can. And I have one in college, and he's doing well, and Jen's laughing because she has one in college, and they do go to college. It can take many forms. You can file your own affidavit, which sounds scary, but it's literally a piece of paper that says I'm a school, and I'll be honest with you, 1 year I did it, and I forgot one of my kids, and nobody noticed, so it was okay, and I'm here, and I didn't go to jail. I called Robin, and she's like, oh my gosh, but it's fine. I think that might have been Danny, but she's still going. She's a junior. You can join the ISP with record keeping, which means like a Calvary Chapel is an ISP, and they'll keep your records. You can join support groups that are not record keeping. Charters, Laura's going to talk on those. I'm a fan of charters. That's the only thing I liked about Bill Clinton, because he put them in. I think charters are cool, but when I was homeschooling and I quit to use a charter at one of the Christian ISPs, I was like afraid to walk in and say I was using them, because in the homeschool world, you got to be careful of those public school people, which I say funny, but that's true. In the homeschool world, I want you to be careful of that. Be careful of well-meaning women leaders that can push it and make it a mandate. And remember, I'm giving you negatives. I'm a big fan. I just want you to really be careful of how you think through these things. I've learned so much from homeschooling. I can diagram any sentence. I'm telling you, I don't know what happened to me in school, but like I redid my whole high school education, and I know everything about history. I'm telling you, I think that kids should work and adults should go to school. I think that'd be better in life. So I'm a learner, and I want to learn, and I don't want to get to heaven and know everything. I want to learn things. So I want my kids to develop that love of learning. Back to those options. When we moved out here, I live in Canyon Lake. School pickings were very slim. And I remember thinking, Jessie looked so little and so tiny, and she had just curly hair and a little voice. And I thought, she's going to go to that big, scary school. I was by myself. A lot of us just decided we're going to homeschool together. Polly was part of that, even though she's ditched me. We all did it together, not knowing what we were doing, but I figured I was smarter than a kindergartner. So I figured I could do it. I just kept thinking at that point, I had 4 kids in 4 years. I would have had to haul them around, get them up for naps. Like, this wasn't a spiritual decision for me. It was like a sleeping decision and a life and death decision. So I had no philosophy of education. I just thought, how in the world am I going to get them to school for 2 hours and go pick them up? And make dinner, right? I was like, I don't know how to do this. So for me, it was actually easier to homeschool at that point. Eventually, we started a co-op. I'm not going to cry, but Greta was part of that. Polly was part of that, about 5 other women. It was unbelievable, and we ran a school, and my kids will tell you that was the greatest time of their life. We did it here, and we had childcare and classrooms, and that was fun. Our circumstances dictated that we were all doing the same thing at the same time. A couple of our husbands worked together. All of that came into play. So you got to be careful, because for my life, it worked. Those kids are all still best friends. It's really fun. And when I put together like your homeschool advantages and disadvantages, I wrote all those women. So that homeschool section in your resources is not me. It's everybody and a few other people as well. There was another reason we homeschooled. Robert's job, he was his own boss, so we could pick vacation whenever we wanted. We wanted to go when all of you didn't. And it was cheaper and less expensive for the vacations we wanted to go when everybody started school. He's still big on vacation, and I'm sure he wants me to tell you all to go on vacation. He's exhausting sometimes because I feel like our life ends up being a vacation, but it was great and fun, and we did a lot of great trips. And they don't want me to tell you this, but like, you know, sometimes you go on vacation and you write down that school day, that's actually okay, because you did something good, you know, home ec. I don't want to get in trouble. We've used all options. We homeschooled. Some of them went in junior high. Some of them didn't. We did charter. We literally did everything, and now, like Laura, we've added private school to the list. We've had 2 kids in special education for learning disabilities. I know Betsy's going to talk on it, but if you sense your child is struggling, don't be prideful. Go get help. Ask for help. Get help. And get help outside of your homeschooling community. Talk to educators. Betsy's an amazing resource. So, in the younger years, we based on children, our choices on what was best for our family. It worked for us. It was great. I didn't have girl time. My girl time was at co-op. And sometimes we would extend those lunches. And it was a great time. My kids will still tell you it was the best time of their life. As we got older, we also had to consider what was best for them individually. That got a little crazy, but we pulled it off. You will continue to tweak it as you evaluate remaining children, and that's what we do. Robert and I evaluate where each kid is at and what we end up doing. Would I go back and change things? I don't want somebody to ask me what I would have changed, but you can ask me privately. Yes, there are some things that we would change, but God is sovereign in your choices, and it's a great thing and a great time. No choice is perfect. On your table, you have a list of more resources of advantages and disadvantages. They're really good. They're compiled from probably 10 women. And they're great. But it is one of your options. And I would think about it if you can, but realize that your lives are different than mine. Your capabilities may be different than mine. You may have children that need you at home, and you're going to be off teaching, and your other ones are running crazy. At some point, I did put my kids in so I could spend time with Stephanie, and that was important. And so you need to be flexible, and I know we're all going to keep saying that. But that's homeschool.
Yeah, so on your tables there are those resource packets. I defined for you guys, not my definition, but a definition of charter schools and what they are, because I don't know if you're like me. When we moved to this area, I didn't really know what charter schools were. They're kind of a newer thing. I think for most of us growing up, we would have had public school as an option, private school, and then you might have known some people that were homeschooled, which has become way more common. But my background is public school, grew up in a public school, and I taught at a public high school in Corona before the kids were born. And when we came out here, I had an opportunity later on to work part-time at a charter school. It's the Julian Charter School's high school learning center. So that was a couple afternoons a week. And it was neat to be exposed to a different schooling option that I had really no prior experience with. I liked the flexibility. We had students coming in that were doing partial homeschooling, partial classroom instruction, so it gave them a chance, especially at those higher levels, to take some more difficult courses that the parents didn't want to tackle or feel like they could. For some, it was just a chance to get out and be with their peers. So it was just a cool option that I kind of just kept filed away in the back of my mind for when our kids were old enough. Thought, you know, this might be worth looking into. And I'm thinking of my first kiddo, Emma. When she was coming out of kindergarten, we were interested in finding something different for her. And we lived in Temecula area at the time, and so Temecula Valley Charter had an opening for first grade. We thought we'd give it a try, and I really liked it there. They did Spanish from kindergarten on up, which I thought was a cool thing. Gave them a definite head start. But it was very similar to a public school, same schedule, Monday through Friday. So I don't know that it would have been so different than a public school, but it was, we thought, you know, worth checking out. Parents did have to volunteer about 12 hours a month there. So I liked that parents had to be involved. I mean, you're going to meet involved parents wherever you go, but sometimes that's not enough of an element in certain settings. And so I liked that parents were very hands-on there. We ended up moving, so, and they had to go through another change. And we looked for a charter school in Murrieta and learned about the Innovation Center through Julian Charter School again. But that was, again, a more traditional, like Monday through Thursday in that case, setting. Friday's they're homeschooled, but the teachers are generating the assignments, and so you're just responsible to implement it. But a great learning environment there. For Emma, it was a great fit, and she was there from second through fifth. And then the only reason we left there was because the staff actually went through a total overhaul. They left and started the same model in Temecula that Chelsea's at with her daughter. And it was just too far. So we thought, okay, Emma's going into middle school. Let's go ahead and look at a school that would go up to 12th grade. So we're not putting her through so many changes. Although kids, they're very adaptable. They're fine. It's probably more hard on me getting used to a new flow. So we had heard about Santa Rosa Academy, which is in Menifee. Probably a lot of you are familiar with that. There's, again, a lot of people from church go there or have their kids there. We'd heard good things about it. I think, Tracy, you might have had a kiddo there at the time. And so I liked what I heard about it. I liked the uniforms for high school. Again, my background was teaching high school, just more like for modesty. I liked that aspect. And it's less complicated when they're figuring out what to wear in the morning. So that's kind of nice. You don't have to have quite the wardrobe for the kids, although uniforms are expensive. But also they emphasize being respectful there. The students line up at the door and they have to shake their teacher's hand as they go in. And some things like that I liked. So it was fine. She was there. Katie was there for a couple of years. I think overall it was a good choice. It's kind of far for us to drive. But one thing about the smaller schools, which typically Emma would love the small town atmosphere, you know, everybody knows everyone. But then sometimes that can be a drag when everyone knows everyone and the just can get gossipy and everybody knows each other's business. If your group's not working out so great, you don't have as many options to find a new group to plug into. So you know, that wasn't always our favorite. I liked the academically oriented environment. Like, it was cool to be good at school and to do well there. Again, other places too, but I did notice that in the charter schools that sometimes it was like more of a cool thing to be a straight A student or whatever. So that worked out for her. We did end up this year making another change, but at least she got to hang out for a while. And we ended up at Calvary, their ISP. So now that's why I can add private school to the list. But on the other hand, I think our son, Caleb, had a very different experience with charter schools. He was at Innovation Center with Emma for a couple years. It wasn't a good fit for him. He did fine, but he wasn't thriving there. It just wasn't working out so great. And again, that was something I talked to Betsy about. Like, what should we be thinking about for him? And talked about his strengths and weaknesses. And we ended up putting him in the elementary school nearby, which, little plug for Myriad Elementary. Great school, love the principal. Betsy's there. There were several other families from church there. And he thrived there. That is like a fit for Caleb. To be in the public school setting is great. And he's now at Thompson. He's in middle school. Loves it, loves school. It's nice. There's a lot of kids there. You can be a rambunctious boy on the playground and you're fine. It's not so straight-laced as some of these other schools can be that are smaller and a little more, not like it's not good to have the high standards and toe the line, but sometimes kids just need to go out and be kids and be a little crazy. So he fits in well there. And our youngest, Katie, she's a second grader right now. She's very adaptable, so we put her where it's easy for us. The elementary school nearby works out great for her, and she gets to play with Abby Plesnick, so we're good. Thank goodness, right? So that's really all I wanted to say about charters. If you have more specific questions, you can ask in our Q&A time. There's other ladies here who have experience with that. I know I've called Greta about, which charter school should we go with, and we've done it all, and just for us, they were a good fit for our kids.
Okay, a little bit about my story with public school. And I'm not going third because public's the worst choice. I don't know how that happened. So, actually, I didn't start out planning to take my kids to public school. I'm a teacher. I didn't start teaching. I got pregnant with Katie, actually, before I ever started teaching. But I had a credential. And so I thought my plan was that when my kids were school age, I would teach at a private Christian school and they would come with me and it would just be this perfect thing. But it didn't work out. One of my kids needed speech therapy and kind of had a little bit of a learning disability. And the private school didn't offer the services. And so, my plans kind of came to a screeching halt. And so I had to really take a closer look at public school. And so that was when Katie was actually kindergartner. Dan went to preschool and got speech therapy, and then Mike was a newborn, and I toted him around everywhere. So that situation seemed disappointing and a little scary at the time. But as the years went on, I found that their needs were met, and they got an excellent education. We had a lot of fun. I got to go on field trips with them, and the classroom setting and classroom experience was really positive. This was a long time ago. They're all out of college now, so. But still, I remember just like really good times. And along the way, we met and made connections with so many teachers and families that we ended up having really special relationships with. I just want to be clear that I'm a fan of public education when it's the right school for the right family at the right time. It's not for everybody. It was definitely an excellent choice for us. And again, I feel like my kids got a really great education and we had a lot of fun. And, one of our best stories, I know it was high school, but you guys know Carlos, his nickname is Goggles. Mike actually invited him. They were playing football just like after school one day. And invited him to church or to winter camp. And I know they were teenagers then, but it's kind of an example of, my son meeting someone who didn't have a church family at all, but was able to invite him. And so my kids were around others that didn't go to church. And so it was, we were able to work through that with them. And we worked really hard to supplement school with the things we thought were important. Obviously they're at school for 6 or so hours a day, and so we really used our after school time wisely. And I just want to reassure you, you can still teach your kids the Bible. I did. I took them to museums. My kids all had piano lessons, and I even taught my daughter how to bake. So it's possible. And I was really involved, though, and I was purposeful. I didn't just drop them off the curb and leave. I do see that, though. I'm a teacher. I think it's become obvious. I teach at Marietta Elementary, a second grade teacher. I'm allowed to be away sometimes. That's why I'm here today. I have a sub. Yes, they let me out. So I met the teachers. We would meet the principals, and most importantly, the office staff. It's really important to develop a good relationship with them. And I enjoyed helping in the classroom and volunteering whenever I could. And I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself now, but I just think that's really important. I think when you're homeschooling, you have all that time with your kids, and even charter school, you can blend. But if your kids are in school all day, it's really important to really immerse yourself where they are at and get to know the people there. And then, so that's kind of my public school story. And in your resources, there's lots of advantages and disadvantages, and so I'm not going to talk any more about that, but I just think, I just want to reassure you that it's going to be okay if that's the choice you make. And then I'm going to go right into talking about special education. In addition to being a regular teacher, I also have a special ed credential and taught special ed for a long time. And so, and also two out of my three kids had IEPs. So I've been on both sides of the table there. And I just want to tell you that it's really common for kids to struggle with learning in some ways. Actually, the rule of thumb is about 10% of kids have an IEP. And that includes like IEPs for speech therapy, so it doesn't mean that 10% of kids have learning disabilities. But lots of kids and adults have difficulty learning. And so if you suspect your child has a learning disability, I encourage you to get help right away. Don't wait. Early intervention is very successful with most types of disabilities. And if you're not sure, ask a knowledgeable friend to help you. So one of my kids had an auditory processing disorder, and we were very assertive about getting him the right kind of help. We had a really good relationship with the school. They worked right alongside us, and we worked together to find exactly what he needed. And now he's in grad school, so it ended well. But we got on it right away. We didn't delay or we didn't wait, you know. Sometimes I have seen years with families, years go by and don't get the help that the kids need. And I just want to encourage you to ask and get help if you think something's going on. There are some types of issues that do resolve over time that maybe if the underlying issue is really more maturity or illness or whatever, but often the more you wait, the gap gets bigger. So your local public school can help your child a free assessment if the suspected disability is significant. It has to be a certain gap, or it has to be, you know, something that's really impacting their reading or learning. And the school will help you decide if they would be eligible for an assessment, and to kind of the path to go down that is to send the principal of your local school an email or call, or the director of special education for your district. I know that sounds a little scary, so ask me if you need help, or ask someone. There's probably lots of people in here who have been down that road. You don't have to attend public school if your child has a learning disability. Charter schools can help. Most charter schools have, is Andrea here? I thought she was going to be here today, maybe. Oh, we can help you answer those questions. But charter schools usually have a special ed program that can help you. And I don't know what the answer to homeschooling is with that, but we can ask Tracy later on. But certainly public school can help you with that initial assessment. And one thing I wanted to bring up, because I've had this question a lot from people, is the special ed assessment is usually by the professionals called a school psychologist. But don't be afraid of that title, because they're not going to use psychology on your child. They're really more a diagnostician and their title is just called psychology. And so if you are homeschooling, though, and I have met many homeschool moms that have a child with a learning disability, and they have successfully taught their kids how to read. Not all kids read using phonics, and that's something that I'm just kind of pulling out of my special ed background, is there are some kids that need a different kind of reading program, not phonics. And ask me if you want some names of some of those. So I think the key is if your child's not learning and making progress, get help right away, be flexible with the curriculum, and find something that's going to help your kids. Probably the biggest indicator or kind of a red flag is language development. So if you see a big gap with language development, like just as an example, if you have a two-year-old and they're still not talking or maybe not responding to your directions, that's a pretty big indicator. Anyway, overall, I'd say if you aren't sure, ask someone who can help you. Ask me. You can call. Anyway, and I think, are we doing this right now?
Yeah, we're laughing because they're all in here probably thinking, I think I'm special.
You're all special. It's true.
Special. Yeah, I think we're going to have a break. We're gonna
okay.
For questions.
Okay.
Right? Where's Dawn?
So we're going to take a break. Be thinking of questions, but not too hard. Make them easy questions.
Don't worry.
Just kidding.